Now we're holding on Kuf Yud Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. We're learning in the Mishnah about the din of Gezel Ager, where a person steals from a ger and swore falsely to him that he didn't steal. Then afterward, the ger passes away. Now the guy does tshuva and admits to what he did. So now he gives a keren v'choymesh. Instead of usually the keren v'choymesh would go to the nigzel himself or to his heirs, the ger has no heirs, therefore he gives it to the kohenim of that mishmah, and he brings a korban ola. And we describe in the Mishnah, you can have the case where, first of all, we have the case where he gave the money to the anshei mishmah, and then before he had the chance to bring the korban asham, then he passed away. Now, we said there's ein kapara l'meisim, there's no kapara for a person who passed away, therefore they're not bringing the asham after he passed away, but the Mishnah had said they can't get back the money from the kohenim. They can't say, in other words, look, at this point our father doesn't need the kapara anymore, so give us back the money. That doesn't work. So nosa nasa kesef anshe mishma v'chola, amun abaye shmamina kesef mechapa mechze. We see from that that the money is mechapa for half the avera. It is a part of the kapara, and now we would say, in other words, he doesn't need the kapara anymore because now he passed away. But nevertheless, we say that the giving the money accomplished half the kapara. Tosfos points out, given that it's a matter of kapara, would mean the kohenim can't be moichel on it. Now we did learn earlier in the perek that the nigzol can be moichel on it, but here we're saying the kohenim can't. So Pnei Yeshua explains the distinction is that there at least the money originally belonged to the nigzol. So therefore now it belonged to him. He can be moichel on it in the sense that he's going to say, I consider as though I received it. To hireni kilu eskabalti is the Gemara's expression for it. But here you don't have that because here it never belonged to the kohenim in the first place. So now they don't have the ability to be moichel it because the guy needs his kapar. So Abai says, you see that the money is actually half of the kapara. If it wasn't a kapara, have amina, mihad of the yoshim, then you would say that it should be returned to the yoshim. My time, I died to the hochila yavle, because you could say he wouldn't have given it in the first place if he knew that he's not going to get his complete kapara accomplished anyway. Actually, in the Mishnah, we learned something else. We learned there was a pasuk that we learned about it. So in fact, there's an explanation that's basically just an asmachta, and the real reason is based on the svara we're saying over here that he wouldn't have given it if he had known that was going to happen, that he wouldn't have a kapara at all. So whereas when he knows that he has at least half a kapara from it, then he gives it freely, even if he knows that he may not be able to accomplish the full kapara. So the Gemara asks, well, if you're going to tell me it depends on his what he would have done or wouldn't have done if he knows what's going to happen later, elam after, by that logic, chatas shemesu ba'aleha, what about the case where a person designates an animal for a chatas and then he passes away, tipuk l'cholin, then we should say it should go out l'cholin da'adaita d'hochi la'afasha, because we would say the same thing. He wouldn't have designated it if he knew that he was going to die before he had a chance to bring it, and then the result is it would have to go to Lemissa. And yet we don't say that. So why should we care what he would have done or wouldn't have done? The fact is he didn't do it. And the answer is Amri. The answer, that's not a proof. Because there's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai that when it comes to a chatas, if the owner dies, it's one of those cases where it has to be left to die. So it's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. For one thing, the Ravid points out, you can't learn things from halachas l'Moshe Misinai. You can't generally derive from them to other halachas. So we can't say, in other words, that here we should say that it's considered, that retroactively we should consider as though he wouldn't have designated it if he knew that he was going to die first. So no proof from that. Okay, the Gemara says, Elame ata oshram shemesu bailav. How about the case where an oshram's owner died before he had the chance to bring the korban? Lipok l'cholin. Then we should say then that it goes out l'cholin da'adaita d'hochi lo'yachashe, because he didn't have in mind to designate it in such a way that if he dies first, then we should say that it would have to be left to graze till it develops a mum. We should say that it turns out that it turns out under these circumstances he wouldn't have been makdish in the first place, and therefore it should go l'cholin. And the answer is Osham Nami, Hilch Segmiri. Well, because we have a similar halachah Mesh Misinai when it comes to an Osham. Kol Shavachatas Mesa Ba Osham Roya. Any case where with a chatas, and there are five cases with a chatas where it has to be left to die, if any of those cases happen with an osham, one is if the owner dies, another one is if it was left until it's too old to bring as a chatas or an osham, there's a case where it was lost and you designated a different one instead and brought it as a korban, there's five different cases. So in all those cases, any one where with a chatas it would have to be left to die, by an osham, roya, you leave it until to graze, until it develops a mum, and you sell it and you use the money to buy an adava, as we talked about yesterday. So therefore, by those, there's a specific halacha Mishmi Sinai that says so, and therefore we can't override that, but we also can't necessarily learn from that to other cases. All right, the Gemara says, Elamayata, if you're going to tell me the Svara of Adaita Dehochi La Yohavlei, if you're going to tell me that that only if we say that the money is kapara, then we would say that he gave it willingly because he wanted to accomplish at least half of his kapara. But if not, then we would say that it would turn out that he never gave it in the first place with that das, and therefore that the Yoshim should be able to have it back. Well, by that logic, Yivoma Shenofla Lifnei Mukashchin. Suppose you have a woman who needs Yivum because her husband passed away without children, and now his brother is Mukashchin, is covered with boils, and she obviously doesn't want to have to marry such a person. You would say Tipuk Beloy Chalitza. Would you say that she should go free without Chalitza Da'adaita Dehochel Kid Sha'atzma? Because you would say that she wouldn't have allowed herself to accept Kiddushin to her original husband unless if she knew that this was going to happen. And the fact is we don't say that. In other words, we would say that there's no Kiddushin L'mafreya, and of course we don't say that. Now, Tosfos points out, first of all, we have to be talking about where the original marriage was only Erusin, where there was not Nisuin yet. If there was Nisuin, then of course she had good reason to want to have the Kiddushin for it to take effect anyway, not to say that retroactively we should be Mevatel it, because after all, she wanted to be married to her husband. But here we're talking about that, here we're talking about there was only Erusin, so she hasn't really gotten any benefit from it yet. And by the way, the Beis HaLevi points out, usually we say, Dvarim Shabalev, Enim Dvarim, you don't know what a person thinks at the time they do something doesn't have an effect. But here it's different. We're talking about that it's such an obvious thing that she wouldn't want to end up with a Mukashchin that we would assume that it was as though it was an explicit tonight. Anyway, so Tosfos also asks then, but the Gemara might as well ask, what about when a person buys something and it turns out that it got damaged? Are we going to say that he wouldn't have bought it if he knew that was going to happen and therefore retroactively we should void the sale? The Gemara is not even asking such a question. So what makes the Gemara think that such a thing could possibly work by Kiddushin? And the answer is because by buying and selling, you need two people involved. So even the Lakeach might not have gone through with it if he knew if he had a way of knowing in advance that this is going to happen. But the Moicher would sell anyway and would be machna to him. Whereas when it comes to Kiddushin, it basically depends on her. And the same thing with all these other cases. A person is machlish, a person gives gezel. So right now they want to accomplish something. So the question is, but still, if she knew that she was going to end up with a mukashchin, then she might not have wanted to go through with the kiddushin, since as we're saying, as Tosfos was saying, we're talking about where it remained in kiddushin and never went to nisuin. So then in that case, why don't we say that we should retroactively be mevatel the kiddushin? Anyway, so the Gemara answer is no. Hosam anan sadi demenach nichaluhu b'cholderhu, because we can be edim that yes, she would want to be married no matter what, even if to any kind of husband. Rashi actually uses the expression lorishin shul shalim, to the first one who is whole in his body, meaning she obviously wouldn't want to begin with to be the Scottish to the mukashchin, but now we're talking about that she was niskadish to her first husband, who was a normal healthy person, and the fact that there might be a suffix, she might end up with Yibum or Chalitza to his brother, the Mukashchin, that's not going to prevent her from accepting the Kiddushin in the first place. Because Kiddush Shlokish, like what Rish Lakish says, Domer Rish Lakish, Tavla Mesav Tandum, La Mesav Aramalu, as Rish Lakish says in a number of places in Shas, that a woman would rather live as two bodies, meaning to be married, even, she'll accept any kind of husband, La Mesav Aramalu, rather than sitting as a widow, meaning as an unmarried woman, so therefore we can assume that she would actually have wanted this Kiddushin after all, even if she knew what's gonna happen in the future, and therefore we can't say that we can't say that there would be an implicit t'nai that she wouldn't have accepted them if this is going to happen. And in fact, the Beis HaLevi, following his shita, explains that, like this we said before, the Gemara had assumed that any person would not want that, and therefore that it was as if there was such a t'nai. Now we're saying, the fact is, there are some women who are willing to say, you know what, even if this marriage means that in the future I might end up with a mukashchin, I'm still willing to go through with it now because I don't want to live alone. So therefore, that already breaks the Dvarim Shebalev. So at least if there was going to be a t'nai that she didn't want it, she should have said it at the time of the kiddushin. And if she didn't, then we can't say that on that basis she should be able to break the kiddushin and say that retroactively it didn't happen. So the point being that in the case of the money over here for Gezel Ager, so Abaye is saying that if he had known he was going to die before he brought the korban, he might not have given the money, and therefore maybe the Yoshim should have a claim on taking that money back. But the fact is that we don't, because we said Kesef Mechaper Mechze is half the Kapara, and therefore he would have been willing to give it no matter what was going to happen. As opposed to, again, when it comes to the Chatas and the Osham and the Yavama, those are different for the various reasons that we discussed, and we wouldn't necessarily say that they wouldn't have done it if they had had in mind, if they knew that such and such was going to happen, in the case of the Chatas and the Osham, because Zalach L'Moshe Mesinai, and in the case of the Yavama, because ultimately she would have wanted to get married in the first place. Next, the Mishnah had described a case where, again, you have, as we learned yesterday, you have the 24 Mishmaris of Koyanim, each one serving for 1 week in the Beis Mikdash, and we said that the two basic rules are you have to give the money, and the Oshim is supposed to go to the Mishmar that's on duty that week. And also that you have to first give the money and only then bring the Osham. We said that the Choymish is not Ma'akiv, as we said in the Mishnah, as we're going to learn at the bottom of the Amud over here, but the Keren is Ma'akiv. If you didn't pay the Keren, then he can't yet bring the Osham. So the Mishnah had described a case where he described two cases. One was where he gave the money to Yahyoriv, who was the first Mishmar, and then he gave the Oshem to Yedaya, which is the second Mishmar. So each one during their respective week, then good, because he gave the money first, and then he brought the korban, and each one, the money and the korban, went to the respective Mishmar of that week, so therefore we're good. On the other hand, we said in the Mishnah that if he gave them the Oshem to Yahyoriv and the money to Yedaya, then if the Oshem had not been brought yet, then we take it away from Yehoyariv and give it to Yedaya from the first Mishmar and give it to the second, because Yehoyariv had done wrongly by taking that Oshem. They shouldn't have, knowing that the money hadn't been returned yet. So if the Oshem still has not yet been shechted, then we take it away from the first Mishmar Yehoyariv and give it to the second Mishmar Yedaya. And if not, then the guy has to bring another Oshem. That was what the Mishnah had said. So now let's analyze those dinim. Nothing is a kesef for Yehoyariv fuller. If the person gave the Osham to the first Mishmar Yahyoriv, and then he gave the money to Yedaya, the second Mishmar, Yachse Kesef Eitzel Osham Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says the money has to go where the Osham is, meaning that we're going to take the money from Yedaya, and we're going to give it to Yahyoriv. We're going to give it to the previous Mishmar, as we're going to work out in the Gemara in a few lines why that should be. I mean, why does Yedaya lose out on the money when? So we'll see in a minute. Divir Rabbi Yehuda. V'chamim yachso oshem eitzel kesef. V'cham say no. You take the oshem away from Yahyoriv and give it to Yedaya. So that now Yedaya has both the money and the korban. So the Gemara says, "Hey, Fidum." Well, what exactly is the scenario that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing about? Now, in the Mishnah, Rashi pointed out, Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing in the Mishnah, because there it's very clear that Yahyarev did wrong by accepting the Osham, because the Osham is coming before the money. So we have to figure out, over here, it sounds like the same thing. See, he first gave the Osham to Yahyarev, and then he gave the money to Yedaya. So why is Rabbi Yehuda saying that we penalize Yahyarev? So why is Rabbi Yehuda saying that we penalize Yedaya? On the face of it, Yahyarev is the one who did wrong by accepting the Osham before the money. So hey, he dummy. Ilema di Yahyarev le Osham le Yahyarev the mishmauta Yahyarev. Are you going to say that he gave the Osham to Yahyarev when it was their week in the Bismikdash? The Kesef le Yedaya the mishmauta Yedaya, and then he gave the money to Yedaya the following week when it was their mishmer. So what's the problem? Zez zocha b'shaloi, zez zocha b'shaloi. Each one is zoicha in his own. Now the Chachamim are going to say that we penalize Yahyarev in the Mishnah, and they say we take away the Osham from them and give it to the ones who have the money. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, why is Yedaya, the second Mishmer, getting penalized? What did they learn and having the money taken away from them? What did they do wrong? So there is a different explanation. Tosfos Shantz in Shittim Kubetis says that actually the Gemara didn't yet know what the Chachamim's Svara is either. So the question is, according to the Chachamim, why don't we just say that each one keeps whatever it has? And according to the Yehuda, the question would be, why we penalize Yedaya? What did they do wrong? Amar Rava, Chachad Mayaskinah. The case of the Braisa is talking about, Rava says, Diyahiv Osham Liyahyarev, the Mishmauta Diyahyarev, the Kesef Liyadayev, the Mishmauta Diyahyarev. What happened is, he gave the Osham to Yahyarev during their week, but then he also, that same week, he gave the money to Yedaya during Yahyarev's Mishmar. So both of them took place during the same week, but instead of giving them both to the same Mishmar, which is on duty that week, instead, he gave the money to the Mishmar that's going to be next week. So now, Rava says that would be the Machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, given the law of Mishmeres Yedayahi, since at this point it's not yet Yedaya's turn, their week in the Mishmikdash is only next week, the Yedaya consin and lay, therefore he says we penalize the Mishmar of Yedaya. Hilchach Yachzik Kesef Eitzel Osham. Therefore, we take the money away and we give it and we put it where the Osham is. We say, look, you gave the Osham already. You gave the Osham already to Yahyarev, like you were supposed to, because they're weak. Take the money away from Yedaya and also give it to Yahyarev for the same reason. Now it's different in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah is different because we're talking about that. In the Mishnah we're talking about that each one that he gave each one in its mishmar, then Rabbi Yehuda would say that Yahyarev is the one that we penalize because why are they taking the osham before the money? But here where Yedaya is out of turn because it's not their week yet, then that's where Rabbi Yehuda says that we penalize not Yahyarev the first mishmar, but Yedaya the second mishmar. Hilchof Yasef Kesef Eitzel Osham. Therefore, we take the money and we bring it to where the osham is. Both of them go to Yahyarev because it's Yahyarev's week. Rabban and Savri, Shalai Kedin Hu Avud, Bnei Yahyarev, to Kiblu Osham, Mekame Kesef. On the other hand, the Chacham said, the fact is that Yahyarev also did wrongly by taking the Osham before the money. And we know the money is supposed to be paid before the Osham is brought. Hilkach Ledid Hu Kan Sinin Lahu. Therefore, the Chacham said, we penalize Yahyarev, the Yaksa Osham Eitzel Kesef, and therefore we take the Osham away from Yahyarev and give it to Yedaya, who received the money, and Yedaya will bring the korban, and Yedaya will bring the korban later on when it's their week. So that would be the machlokas. So in the Mishnah it's different because each one received it in their week, but here we're talking about that Yedaya received it out of turn. So now the question is, in a way, both Yahyarev and Yedaya did wrong. Yahyarev by receiving the osham before the money, and Yedaya by receiving the money out of turn, and therefore you have the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, which one gets penalized and which one actually gets to have the money and bring the osham. And as we learned yesterday, they're going to get the meat of the osham. They're going to get the skin of the osham, so they have benefit from bringing that actual osham itself. The Rambam actually has a different understanding of what the Gemara is saying in the Machlokas of Yehuda, of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. He understands that we're talking about it is during the week of Yedaiah, and he gives the money to Yehoyarib, which was last week's Mishmar, and then he gives the Osham to Yedaiah, which is currently their week. So now, so Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that Yehoyarib is doing wrong, because what are they doing? Taking the money when it's not their week. It's Yediah's week. Therefore, they have to give the money to Yediah to go together with the Osham. Whereas again, once the Chachamim, the vote is that that Yediah did wrong because the Osham was brought before the money. So therefore, they're going to have to give the Osham to Yehoyariv. So the Gemara continues. Tanya, Omar Rebbe, Ledibir Rabbi Yehuda. So Rebbe says, if we analyze and we look according to what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Im Kodmu Bnei Yehoyariv Kruvu Asa Osham. If Yehoyariv, in this case that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing about, where again following Rashi's explanation, we're talking about that he gave the Osham to Yehoyariv during their week, and then he gave Yediah the money also during the week of Yehoyariv. So we're saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we penalize Yediah, we take the money away from them and give it to Yehoyariv, the current week's Mishmar. It would come out that if Yehoyariv did go and bring the Osham before they got the money, and then that's a problem, because we said the Osham can't be brought until the money is brought, then Yachsav Yavi Osham Acher, then the Gazlan is going to have to bring another Osham, the Yachrivuhu Bnei Yediah, and in that case, Yediah will bring that Korban. Yes, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that normally we penalize Yediah, and we take the money away from them, and we give it to Yehoyariv, where the Osham is. But now that the Osham has already been shechted and offered, and it became possible, so in this case over here, now that he anyway has to bring a new Osham, so now what he does is he brings the new Osham to the Mishmar that has the money, namely Yediah, who already has the money. So in that case, Yediah does end up with everything. The Zohar Halalu, Masha B'Yadon, as far as Yehoyariv, there is Zoyche, and what they had, meaning the Osham that they brought already, they don't have to give that away. Amri said, ask the Mai Chazi. What do you mean? What do you mean they can keep that Osham? What's it good for? It's Osham Puzzle. It's Puzzle, and they have to burn it. Omar Rava La'Oroi. So Rava says the answer is that they do benefit from, they get to keep the skin. As we learned yesterday, the skins of Kodshe Kodshim go to the Koyanim, and Osham is Kodshe Kodshim. Therefore, the Koyanim who brought the Korban are going to be entitled to the Mishmar, is going to be entitled to the skin. And therefore, so in this case, even though the Korban is possible, they're going to be able to keep the skin, and they don't have to give that away to Yediah. Tosfos actually wonders that in that case, if the korban is possible, don't we generally have to burn the skin, because then the whole korban is possible, and then the skin itself, the usual rule is that only when the korban is kosher, only when the blood was sprinkled properly, only then does the skin go to the kohenim as one of their 24 matnas kohona. So therefore, so Tosfos wonders over here why we shouldn't have to burn the skin. So the Rosh gives an answer, because even after the korban is shechted, it's still, as long as the kohenim receive the money before the zrikas adam, then the korban will still be kosher. So here we're talking about, let's say, they took off the skin before the zrikas adam. Usually they don't do that. Usually only after the zrikas adam do they take off the skin. But here, let's say, they took off the skin first, so therefore it never became osa bahana. The Ravid gives an answer that there is Rabbi Akiva. You have opinions. You have Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koyanim and Rabbi Akiva in a Gemara in Zvachim, in a Mishnah and a Gemara in Zvachim, who say that the skin is never burnt anyway. That even when the korban itself is possible, then the skin still remains mutabahana. So our Braisa or Gemara may be going according to that opinion. Marsha furthermore points out that Marsha wonders what's Tosfos's question even. This is not a psul before Shchita. only if you actually, similar to what the Rosh is saying, that it's possible to give the money before the Zrika. So over here, it wasn't actually possible before the Shchita. So, because after all, we said before that could Yasu Kesef Eitzel Oshram, that it's possible to still bring the money to where the Oshram is. So that being the case, why is Tosfos even wondering that why the skin should be Osabana when it wouldn't necessarily be? And then in turn, Tiferes Shmuel on Marsha, discusses that and says that actually Tosfos in Zvachim addresses that point and says that you have if you bring the money before the skin was taken off the animal, nevertheless it would still be considered apostle. So it wouldn't work to say, so Tiferes Shmuel on Marsha points out, it actually wouldn't work to say that you should give the money before the skin is taken off and then the skin will be mutter, based on what Tosfos is saying in Zvachim. It wouldn't work out, and therefore Tosfos' question here is a valid question. Okay. Anyway, the point is that Rebbe is saying, Rebbe is saying again like this. When the Oshram is still alive and hasn't been brought yet as a korban, that's when Rabbi Yehuda is saying that we take the money that Yedaya received out of their turn, because it's not their week yet, and we give it to Yehoyarib, whose week it is in the Beis Mikdash, and then they still have the Oshram, which is still alive and has not been shechted yet. So good, in that case, then we give them the money. Now the Oshram can be brought, and everything goes from there. Whereas Rebbe is saying that if Yehoyarib had already been brought the Oshram, then Rabbi Yehuda would say that no, since the guy anyway has to bring a new Oshram, the Gazlan anyway has to bring a new Oshram, therefore he gives that to Yedaya, therefore the money stays where it is by Yedaya, and he brings another Oshram, and they'll bring it, and Yedaya will bring it next week when it's their turn. Which means it actually said, that would be a different din that Rabbi Yehuda would say. Tanya, then the Gemara continues, we learn in another braisa. So Omer Rebbe, Ledivir Rabbi Yehuda, Im Kayam Oshram, Yachsu Oshram Eitzel Kesef. Rebbe says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the Oshram is still alive, then you take the Oshram and put it where the money is, you give it to Yedaya. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Behold, Rabbi Yehuda Yachsu Kesef Eitzel Oshram Yisrei. Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say that the money goes where the Oshram is? So over here then, why is Rebbe saying that in this case the Oshram goes to the money? And the answer is Hoch Mayaskin, and because this last Braisa, Rebbe is talking about yet another case. Before we were talking about that it's either Yehoyarib's week or Yedaya's week, but there are 22 other weeks. So going to Nafak Mishmarted Yehoyarib, Voy Tavu. So we're talking about Yehoyarib's Mishmar is over. They did not go over to Yedaya and say, hey, you guys got the money, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, we should be entitled to the money because we're the Mishmar on duty this week and we have the Oshram, so give us the money. So they didn't do that during the week. Voy Tavu, and they did not demand the money. So Rebbe wants to tell us, in that case, we can assume they were moichel the money to Yedaya, and therefore, so now the money can stay by Yedaya, and in that case, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that we leave the Oshram by Yedaya, that we give the Oshram, we take the Oshram from Yehoyarib and give it to Yedaya, because in that case, we say that they were moichel, that Yehoyarib was moichel on the whole thing. So far, we have a few cases where Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that Yedaya is going to do everything. One is, we said before, where the korban we ended up being possible because Yehoyarib brought it too early, and he has to bring a second Oshram, and then Yedaya gets to do it. All Yehoyarib gets out of it is the skin. And now we have another case where Yehoyarib's Mishmar is over, and they didn't go to Yedaya and demand the money, where they were also, we say, they were moichel it, and now the money goes to Yedaya, and the Oshram also goes to Yedaya. Okay. Tanya Idach, then we learn yet another braisa. So Omer Rebbe, the Divir of Yehuda, Im Kayam Oshram, Yachsu Kesef Eitzel Oshram. According to Rebbe Yehuda, if the Oshram that was given to Yehoyarib is still alive, then the money is taken from Yedaya and brought to Yehoyarib where the Oshram is. The Gemara says, Pshita, obviously, Hochi Yisrei, that's exactly what Rebbe Yehuda said in the braisa. What is Rebbe adding when he's just repeating what Rebbe Yehuda is saying? The answer is, because this last braisa is talking about another case where both mishmaris are over. It's now the turn of the third mishmar, let's say, whose name is Chorim. So now it's neither Yedaya nor Yehoyarib. So, v'loy tovu, now neither one demanded from the other. Yehoyariv didn't say to Yedaiah, where's our money? Yedaiah didn't say to Yehoyariv, where's our asham? You would think at this point maybe they were moichel to each other, and then according to Rabbi Yehuda, everything would just stay where it is. The money would stay by one, and the korban would stay by the other. Kamash Malan. Therefore, Rabbi is telling us no. And we say kiven the loy tavu, since neither one was teveya one from the other, then Rabbi Yehuda would still say that Rabbi Yehuda would still say, as he said in the Braisa, Yachse Kesef Eitzel Osham, the money goes where the Osham is. So now Yedaiah is going to have to give the money to Yehoyariv. It's one thing when Yedaiah received the money during their week, then we can say they keep it. But now we say, now we're saying that the money was given to Yedaiah, but Yehoyariv did not ask them for it, and Yedaiah, on the other hand, did not say to Yehoyariv, where's the korban? So now that the second week is over, then therefore Yedaiah loses that money, and then Rabbi Yehuda goes back to his original din that the money goes where the Osham is. And therefore, so kiven delay tavi, since neither one was teveya from the other, lahadru bereisha, then we start all over again. We wait until we give everything to Yehoyariv in that case, and we tell Yehoyariv, you're going to have to wait until it's your mishmar again, until 22 weeks from now, and then you can distribute the money among all yourselves, and then you can bring the osham then. So we have several different scenarios of what Rabbi Yehuda says that we do with the money and the Osham respectively, depending what was given when. So in short, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if each one was given in his mishmar, then each one gets his own. According to Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Chachamim also, and if that was the case in the Mishnah, if you gave them out of turn, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that usually you give the money to the Osham, but that depends whether it was Yehoyariv's week or whether it was Yehoyariv's week or Yedaiah's week. And you're going to have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to depend whether there's a second korban that needs to be brought, or whether the week of Yehoyariv has passed, or whether the weeks of both Yehoyariv and Yedaiah have passed. Then you're going to have these different dinim that Rabbi Yehuda is going to say what you do in each case. Usually, by the way, the halacha would be like the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda, but here, where the Gemara spent so much time discussing Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, then that implies the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and that is, in fact, the way that Amman passes it. Also, there's the fact that Rebbe is pointing out how things would be according to Rabbi Yehuda, and the halacha is usually like Rebbe as well. We said in the Mishnah, Sham maybe Gzele Ad Shalahevi Asham, we said if the person brought the Gezel before the Asham, then he's Yotze, but not the other way around. So the Gemara says, Menahani Mili, where do we know that from? That the money has to be paid before the Asham is brought. Omar Rabba, the Omar Kraha, Asham Amushav Lashem Lakoyin. The Pasuk says the Asham, which we said yesterday, that the Asham refers to the money that he's paying, which is given to Hashem, goes to the Koyin. Milavad, Eila Kipurim, Asher Yechaper Boy. Besides for the ram of kapara, with which he will accomplish kapara. So that means that it has to be in the clouds, kesef bereisha. So that implies that the money goes first and then the korban. The Gemara starts with the assumption that Rava is learning from the fact that it mentions them in that order, first the money and then the osham, and that the word milavad would mean, which means besides for, would mean beforehand. So it would have to be money before osham. So omale ahumer abarim the Rava. So one of the Chachamim asks Rava, if you're telling me that when it says milavad, it means that it has to be in that order, first the money, then the Asham. So but we have another pasuk that uses the word milavad. Milavad oilas haboker, where it says about the korbanos musaf, besides for the oila of the morning, besides for the korban tumet of the morning, then you bring the musafim. Hochinami mekladu musafim bereisha. Are you going to tell me that means the musafim come first? Because you're going to say that means that you bring the musafim milavad. Besides that you bring, meaning, and afterwards you bring the korban tumet. V'hotani, we learn on a brayse. Minayin shalayi ha'idava kodim l'tomen shal shachar. How do we know you don't bring any other kodim before the tomen shal shachar? Tamad lima v'orach alayah ha'oila. The posik says that he should arrange on it the oila, on the wood, on the mizbeach. And it says ha'oila. And v'omer rabba ha'oila oila rishana. And in fact, Rava says that the extra hay over there means not just any oila, it means the oila that has to come first. Meaning that the korban tomer shel shachar comes first before any other korbanos on the mizbeach. So how exactly ha oila means what's so important about it? So this gemara is brought in other places in Shas, and Rashi explains that the vort is that it means the first oila, which is written in the section of the korbanos, and when you have in Parashas Pinchas when it describes all the korbanos, the tomer is listed first. Tosfos brings that from Rashi over here. Tosfos themselves gives a different explanation that it means that it was the first korban that the Jewish people ever brought as a nation. Besides the korban Pesach is something else, because that was brought by every individual. The first one that was brought on it, that was brought as a nation, was the korban tamid, and therefore it's called ha'olah, the most important. Anyway. The point is, there obviously the word milavad doesn't mean that you bring the musaf and then the tamid. So why over here should we say that milavad means that you have to bring first the money and then the asham? Amalei. So Rava says, I'm not learning from the word milavad. Anome asher yechaper boi nachdalei. I'm learning from the fact that it says the korban with which he will accomplish the kapara. The will is in future tense. V'adayim lekipper, implying that at this time he has not yet been mechaper. So therefore, we learn from that that it has to be that the korban is brought only after the money is given. So the Gemara continues. We said in the Mishnah, Nosim Ayis HaKeren, we said if we gave him the Keren but not yet the Choymish, then we said the Choymish is not ma'akiv. As we learned in connection with the mission, it does not mean that he can get away with never paying the Choymish. It doesn't mean that eventually he does have to pay the Choymish. Just right now, he can still bring the korban, as we discussed yesterday. But anyway, so the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, Minayin Shem Hevi Milosei V'lehevi Ashramai. How do we know that if he brought, not in the case of Gezel Agev specifically, but in general, where a person commits Me'ilah, where also he has to pay Keren V'Choymish. Where there he has to also bring Keren V'Choymish. So how do we know that if he brought the value of his Me'ilah, the Keren, V'loy Hevi Ashramah, he did not yet bring the Asham, Ashramah V'loy Hevi Me'ilah, so, or he brings the Asham and not his Me'ilah, Shaloy Yotza, that he's not Yotza unless he does both, unless he gives the money and brings the Korban Asham, Tamad Lama, Be'el Ha'asham, and Nisvach Loy, therefore the Pasuk says that he has to bring a Korban of a ram of an Asham, and then he's forgiven. So again, Osham means the Keren, just like we said before, Osham Amushav Lashem Lakoyin, that the word Osham in connection with Gezel Agir meant the Keren. The same way over here, the word Osham means the Keren, and Be'el means the ram for the Korban. So therefore, we learn from that that he has to have both of them, and only then, V'nisrach Loi, only then is he forgiven. How do we know that by Me'ilah, like by Gezel Agir, if he brings the Osham before the Me'ilah, he's not Yotze? Because the Pasuk says, with the ram of the Osham, implying that the Osham, the paying of the money, already took place. So it has to be in that order. The Shukah Kubetzis brings from the Ramah another point that also that Eil Ha'osham implies that the Eil is of the Osham, implying that secondary to it. So first there has to be the money, and only then comes the Eil, the ring. The Gemara continues, Yochel Kashem Shal Eil Ha'osham Ma'akvim Kach HaChoymish Ma'akvim. You would think that just like the ram for the korban and the Osham in the Keren Ma'akvim, so is the Choymish. No, Talmud Lamed, the Eil Ha'osham, and Nisach Loi. No, the Pasuk says, with the ram of the Osham, and he'll be forgiven. So we see, all you need is the ram and the Osham, Eye of Osham, Ma'akvim, the Hekdish, the Ein Choymish Ma'akvim. When it comes to Hekdish, only the Eye and the Osham are Ma'akvim, but not the Choymish. Furthermore, the Brais says, the Yilmar Hekdish Mehedyat, the Hedyat Mehekdish. Furthermore, we can learn the case of Hekdish from the case of Hedyat, namely, so we can learn a din as far as Me'ilah from the din of Gezel Agir, where there it was the property of a Hedyat versus Me'ilah is the property of Hekdish, and the other way around, we can learn something about the Gezel Agir from Hekdish. Hekdish Mehedyat, Ma Oshem Behasim Keren, we established by Gezel Agir that the word Osh Asham there means not the korban Asham, but rather the money that he owes. So therefore, af Asham gahacha keren, the same way, we can learn over here that the word Asham in the pasuk about Me'ilah refers to the keren and not to the, and not to the korban Asham. So we can learn that. The hedyot mehekdish, and then on the other hand, we can learn the hedyot from hekdish, ma hekdish, ein chomish ma'akdish, just like by hekdish, we said, since the pasuk mentions only eil and osham, and does not mention the chomish as in connection with the v'nisach loy, so therefore, af hedyot nami, ein chomish ma'akdish, the same way by the hedyot, you don't need the chomish in order to be ma'akdish, in order he can bring the korban, even though he has not yet paid the chomish. Tosfos wonders actually that we learned previously in the Gemara. We said that before in the Gemara we had brought a pasuk by the Gezel Ager that if he brings the korban before he's paying the money, then he's not yotze. Based on what we're saying over here, why don't we learn it from Hekdish? So Tosfos says because we have to find that there was a comparison between them. Otherwise, we wouldn't learn that particular pasuk that way. In order to learn that limud. Now that we find that the Torah is equating them as far as certain things, then we can say they're equated as far as everything, including to doubt in the pasuk, the way we did before, to say that if he brought the Gezel Ager, that if he brought the korban before he paid the Gezel Ager, then he's not yotze. So it has to be in that order with both of them, with both Me'ilah and with Gezel Ager. First he pays the money, then he brings the korban, and that way he has his kapala. Hadran alacha gozalaitim. The next parak over here, the last parak of the Masechta, is going to continue with dealing with dinim of gzela and gneva, and then it's going to go on to talk about various other kinds of cases where a person takes something. We're going to have extensively in this parak later. We're going to have the dinim about mesira. We're going to have dinim about where a person saves something from robbers or from a river or whatever, when he's allowed to keep it for himself and when he has to split it evenly among all the people who were there, etc. So these are topics that we're going to be discussing in this parak. So the Mishnah starts off. Now we've learned earlier in the Masechta, we learned that when a person steals something and there's yush and there's shinu rishus, then we say that now it belongs to him and now he doesn't have to pay it. Now he doesn't have to give back the actual item anymore. He just has to pay back the value. So the Mishnah starts off. Hagozel machalas banav. A person stole something and gave it to eat to his children. Or he passed away and he left it to them as an inheritance. Then they are potter from paying because they themselves didn't steal it after all. We were koneh with yush and shinu neshus, and they're not the ones who stole it themselves. So therefore, they don't have to pay. As the Gemara will explain why that is. Why don't we don't say they should at least have to pay for the hana that they did? So we'll see that. Tosfos points out, actually, that it may not even have to be that they actually ate it. He just gave it to them, and already you have shinu d'shus, and you have together with yush. So therefore, when the Mishnah says umachal, doesn't necessarily mean they had to have eaten it. It could just be the Mishnah is mentioning the typical example. Then Tosfos goes on to say, maybe not. Maybe the fact that a father gives to his children, where there's some ochal shulchane, where they're depending on him for their support, for their income, then maybe, in fact, we wouldn't call that shinu d'shus, and therefore it would have to be that they actually ate it in order for the din of our Mishnah to apply. The Mishnah continues, "Vim hoya davar sheyesh be'achrayus." If this thing that he stole was davar sheyesh be'achrayus, which usually refers to karka, although we're going to see in the Gemara that it may mean something else, chayavim l'shalem, then the yoshim do have to pay. Because now it's a noticeable thing, and we don't want people to be saying that this was the thing their father stole. It would be a bizoyan for their father. There are mafoshim who explain over here that primarily we're talking about if the father did tshuva, the Rif and the Rosh point out that we'd have to be talking about the father did tshuva before he passed away, otherwise the children are not really chayiv and is covered in the first place. So the Gemara starts on. Now we're going to have two major ways of explaining the Mishnah, as we're going to say in the Gemara, and the meaning of each of the phrases in the Mishnah is going to depend on those two opinions. So Omer Rav Chista, Gozel Volonis Yashua Bailim, Rav Chista says that if somebody stole something and the owner did not yet have Yush, or Uvo Achav Ochlam Imenu, and somebody else came and took it from the Ganev and ate it, So if the owner had had Yush, then we would say that the, so now we're going to talk about which one has to pay, the first Gazlan or the second. If the owner had had Yush, then, as the Gemara is going to continue pointing out, then the second one hasn't stolen from the owner at all, and therefore he wouldn't be chayav to pay the original owner. At most, he would be chayav to pay the first Gazlan. And here especially we have Yush and Shinu Rishus, because we have those Shinu Rishus from the first to the second one. So therefore, now the first owner has completely lost title to it. On the other hand, the Nimuka Yosef says maybe not necessarily. It wouldn't necessarily be Shinu Rishus over here because he took it Baal Korchai. Because if the Gazlan had given it to him, then you could call that Shinu Rishus. But when the other guy stole it, that it's not necessarily Shinu Rishus. Tosfos points out, and in some detail over here, that the fact is, the Gemara is going to say, here we're saying, Loi Nisiyash Rabbeilim, if the owner had been Miyash, then Tosfos says similarly, you would collect only from the first one, because the second one already ate it, and then Tosfos goes on to discuss various angles on that. According to we learned earlier in the Masechta, that maybe Yush all by itself is enough to take it away from the original owner and give it to the Gazlan. So here, are we talking about then here the Yush may have been only after the Shinu Rishus. So what are we talking about over here when we would say that it's considered that the first one and the second one are both equally stolen from him versus not? Anyway, so the Chista is saying where the owner was not Misyayish and somebody else came and ate it. Rotsim is a goiva. Then the Chista says the owner of that food can collect from whichever one he wants. Because both of them, in a certain sense, have equally well stolen from him. Tosfos also adds the point that if the second one took it from the Gazlan Baal Korchai, then you have the food was originally owned by Reuben. Shimon stole it from Reuben. Then Levi came and grabbed it from Shimon and ate it. So if Reuben has Shimon pay him, then Shimon in turn would be entitled to go to Levi and have Levi pay him for what he had to pay out to Reuben. Says Tosfos. So the Gemara says, my timer, why is that so? On the face of it, it's not in the Rishus of the owner anymore, so why should the owner be able to collect if he wants from Levi? And the answer is, Kokamagul and Siyashra Bailam, the Rishus of the Maripari. The answer is, because before Yush, it's still in the Rishus of the owner. So therefore, both Shimon, who stole it directly, and Levi, who ate it, either one is considered like he stole it from the owner, and therefore he can collect the money from either one of them. He can't collect twice, obviously. He can't collect the value of this food twice, but he can collect all from one or all from the other, or part from one and part from the other. So the Gemara says, Tinan, wait, but our Mishnah says, HaGozel Machal Esbanav V'Yiniach Lefneim Turim L'Shalim. We said in the Mishnah that if he stole and gave the food to his children, or he left it to them as a Yerusha, then they're potter from paying. So you see, therefore, that the second one is potter altogether. Piyukta de Rav Chista. Wouldn't that be a contradiction on Rav Chista, who says that the second one can also be on the hook for paying? Now, Tosfos understands that the question is really from both dinim. The question would really be that, first of all, the Mishnah had first said that a gozel machalas bonav, then they're potter, because we don't know yet whether this is after Yish or before. And then the sefer is saying about davar sheyesh be'achrayus chayav l'shalem. So Tosfos understands that the question would really be from Rav Chista would really be from both parts of the Mishnah. Or not in the case of davar mesuyim, rather Tosfos is saying both where macha, where he gave them to eat it, and now it's eaten and it's gone, or he niach lefneim, where he left it them as a yerusha. Tosfos understands that the question on Rav Chista would really be from both cases. The Baal Amor, on the other hand, explains that we're only asking from the second case of Niach Lefnehem. Sure, if they ate it, then, of course, they didn't take it at all. It's all considered a continuation. He stole it and he gave it to them. So he's the only one chayev, and they're potter from paying, as the Mishnah says. So according to the Baal Amor, the question is really from the second case of Niach Lefnehem. He left it to them as an inheritance based on what Rav Chista is saying. It's true they didn't steal it. But nevertheless, it is in their possession. So why shouldn't we say according to the Chista that they should have to pay it? So wouldn't that be a contradiction on the Chista? Omalach Rav Chista, Kitanya hi la'achar Yush. So Rav Chista says no, because when the Mishnah is saying that they're potter, it's because it's after Yush. My din is talking about before Yush, so V'loinis Yashu Abaylam, as he said, so therefore that would be different. It's still in the Rishus of the owner, as opposed to the case of the Mishnah, is where the owner was already Miyayish, and therefore you can already have, as Tosfos had said, the Shini Rishus is enough. So again, as Tosfos had said, either we say that just the fact that he gave it to them, even if they didn't eat it yet, is enough to take it out of the Rishus of the owner, and therefore to plato them from paying, or according to Tosfos' second answer, no, only when they actually ate it and it's gone, then we would say that they're potter, but if it still existed, then we wouldn't call it Shini Rishus, because they're dependent on him, because the Gazlan is supporting his children, and therefore that would be different. In any case, the point is, Rav Chista is saying that my din does not contradict the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is specifically talking about La'achar Yush, and my din is talking about before Yush. So now the Gemara continues, Imhi Niach Lifnehem, we said if the father left them the Gzela as an inheritance, then Pturim Shalom, we say they're also potter from paying. So Omar Rami Bachoma, Zoy Semeres, Rishus Yorish, Rishus Lakeach Domin. So Rami Bachoma says, That you see from this, that when a person yashins something, it's in a certain sense, it's considered like the resource of a buyer. The same way, in other words, if somebody else had bought it from the Gazlan, then they would be zoicha in it. They wouldn't have to return it because there was already yush. So you have Yerush and Shinu Rishus. The same way, it says Rami Bachama, when it comes to Yerusha, then you have the same kind of thing. And therefore, and therefore, they don't have to return it. So Rami Bachama says that they're potter completely, because when they yashin it, it's considered as though they bore it. So now, as we said before, the Mishnah is talking about la'achar yush. But again, we did learn earlier in the Masechta whether yush by itself is enough. But he was saying that Yush by itself is not enough. Rashi points out, after all, then the Mishnah didn't have to mention the case where he gave it to his children at all. Then all you have to say is he himself has it. So then the Mishnah could have just said that he's potter. The fact that it doesn't say that means that our Tana holds you need Yush and Shinu Rishus very well. Rami Racham is saying when they inherit it, it's considered that you have Shinu Rishus. So that's what Rami Bachama says. Rava Omar, Rava says not necessarily. Rishus Yerush Lav Ki Rishus Lekeach Domi. No, when a Yerush Yaushens it, it's not necessarily considered like he bought it. So it's not considered Rishus Acheres. He's still continuing in the Rishus of his father, kind of like Brokara Davu. He's considered still a leg of his father. There is, by the way, discussion about when it came to him beheter or it came beisser, because after all here there was already yush and therefore it came to him beheter versus you could talk about where it came beisser, meaning that the owner was miyaj only after he inherited it. So there is some discussion among achronim about different opinions on that subject. Anyway, so Robert is saying no, when they yashin and it's not considered that they bought it, there's no shinu rishus. But the reason why in our Mishnah they're potter from paying kshaochlum is because Davka, we're talking that they did yashin it, he niach lefneihem, but then later on they ate it. So in other words, Rava is saying in both cases of the Mishnah, the gzela is gone. In the first case, it was eaten while the father was still alive. He gave it to them while he was alive and they ate it. And in the second case, we're talking about that they yashin it and then they ate it afterwards. So either way, it doesn't exist anymore. So therefore, we can say that they're potter, since after all, they're not the ones who stole it. But if it still existed, then they would in fact have to return it because we would say there's no shinu rishus, because we wouldn't say that them inheriting it is considered like a lekeach. So the Gemara asks, "Homi katoni seifin ha'yadav shi'esh be'achrayis chayav l'shalim." What do you mean, though? The Mishnah continues that if the thing that was stolen was a dav shi'esh be'achrayis, now usually dav shi'esh be'achrayis means karka, but it can't mean karka over here, because actual karka itself actual karka itself, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, karka ain't an exelus. You can't really steal karka because it's still there where it was. So therefore, so on the face of it, Jav Shiesh Ba'achrayus, it has to mean something where everybody knows what it is. So Rashi says, Ka'ein karka, it means something like karka, or for example, a talus or something else like that. And we said in the Mishnah, Chayovin L'shalem, then they do have to give it back because of the covet of their father. Miklal de Reisha b'gzeila kayemas askinen. So doesn't that mean that the Reisha is talking about where the gzeila still exists? Because the Mishnah is only making a distinction whether it's a dover sheyesh ve'achrayus, whether, for example, it's an actual talus where we can point to and say this talus their father stole, or whether, for example, we're talking about money where it's not so much achrayus because you go and spend the money on something else, but not a distinction between whether it exists or not, whereas according to Rava, the distinction should be whether the Yoshim ate it or not. Amalach Rava Hachi Karma. So Rava says, no, the Mishnah means like this. The Mishnah doesn't say, when it says, doesn't mean that the item that was stolen itself was something that has achrayus, meaning like a talus or something. It means if their father left them achrayus nechosim, if their father left them karka, chayavim l'shalem, then they have to pay, not because of covered for their father, but because now there's a shibur on that karka that their father owned. So if he had karka of his own, so now their father had a shibud while he was alive, and now they, the Yisraelim, have to now take care of that shibud after they paid. Tosfos points out, actually, that shouldn't we consider this like a milva al peh? And the answer is that we could be talking about where already the father had been taken to Beis Din before while he was still alive, and then already it's considered like a milva b'shtar. Anyway, so therefore, so you can collect from Yisraelim and you can collect from their karka. So Rava says that's what the Mishnah means. Not that they're chayav to pay, that they're chayav to return the actual item that yesh b'achrayus, but rather that they're obligated to pay out of the karka they inherited from their father because he had a sheep. So the Gemara asks, v'amasni le Rebbe le Reb Shimon Brei, why? Didn't Rebbe teach Reb Shimon when he was teaching him the Mishnah? Loi davash yesh b'achrayus mamash, that when we said in the Mishnah, Dovash Yesh Ba'achrayus, we don't literally mean Dovash Yesh Ba'achrayus, which means Karka, because again, you can't do Karka in an exelus. Ela, Afilu Pora V'chodesh V'chamor V'chamor Akrav. It means even, for example, it was a cow with which he was plowing, or a donkey that he was using to carry a burden. So even then, everybody can recognize this cow or this circle or this donkey. That's called that yesh ben achrayus chayavim lahachsim if nekvoy davim. Then they have to return it because of the covet of their father, because otherwise people are going to keep on mentioning that this thing was stolen by their father. So we see clearly that the Mishnah is referring to not that their father bequeathed them property, which is real estate, which now they're going to pay the debt out of, but rather that we're talking about that their father actually stole a poro or a chamor or whatever, and we're making them return the actual thing. So according to Rava, how does that work? If according to Rava, we're saying that they're not considered like a lekeach, then they should have to return it. It's not just a matter of kvoy davim, they should have to return it, because they were never koine it in the first place. There was yush, but there wasn't shinu reshus. Elo, Omar Rava, so rather, Rava said, I'll give you a different answer, and you should know this answer is going to be to explain the Mishnah according to what Rav Oshia is going to say, as I was going to quote, and Rava says, Kisha Chivna, when I pass away, Rav Oshia, Nofet Lavasi, I'm sure that Rav Oshia is going to come from Gan Eden to come and greet me, to Teritz, the Masnis, and Kavasei, because I, not only in this one case, but I regularly go and explain Mishnayos to make them fit according to how Rav Oshia says in Braises. The Tony Rav Oshia, because here Rav Oshia taught a Braisa, Hagoizo Machos Bonif Turim L'Shalom, person stole something and gave it to his children to eat, then they're potter from paying, because as we said, they're not the ones who stole it, and you have Yirush and Shinu Rishus. But he niach lefnehem, if he left in front of them something where the gzela still exists, and they're chayav to give it back, and if it no longer exists, it's been eaten or whatever, then they're potter. So far, the way Rava said, but if their father left them, he left them karka, they are chayav to pay, because now there's a shibud on that karka, meaning, in other words, that Rava is saying, it's true, Rebbe doesn't learn the Mishnah the way that I'm saying, but Rav Oshia does, and Rav Oshia does, and I'm following Rav Oshia's understanding of the Mishnah as he composes his Braisa accordingly. And therefore, I think Rav Oshia is going to appreciate that when I come to Gan Eden, that I'm explaining the Mishnah the way that he learned it. So therefore, so it fits very well, Rava says, with what I'm saying, that the Yodish is not really considered a Lekeach, and therefore, if the item still, and therefore, if the item still exists, or if there's a Chrayus Nechosim, then they're going to have to pay, but otherwise not. Well, Omamar, what we just said in this Braisa, Eina Gzela Kayemes Pturin, he said that if the Gzela no longer exists in their potter, name a Tevet Yurta, the Rav Chista. Is this Braisa then going to contradict Rav Chista? Rav Chista before had understood the Mishnah to be saying, Rav Chista rather had said before that if the owner wasn't Miyayish, then, and somebody else came and took it from the Gazlan and ate it, then the original owner can be Goyva from either one, because either one is considered the Gazlan relative to him. So now this Braisa is saying, though, that, if it's not Kayim, then they, the Yoshim are Potter, but based on what Rav Chista says, the Yoshim should still be considered the ones who stole it. Again, that Braisa, just like we said in the Mishnah, is talking about La'achal Yosh, whereas Rav Chista says, my din is talking about before Yosh, and that's a whole different matter because then it hasn't left the Rishus of the owner yet. In which case, Tosfos points out, now we learned earlier in the Masechta, back in the seventh paragraph, we had the opinion of Rav, who says that Yush by itself is enough to be Kona. He's also going to learn tomorrow about Sashem that he holds that, that if it's before Yush, the second one is Chayev, so therefore, he's also going to have to explain that our Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about La'acha Yush. And on the other hand, when it's a Dovra Mesuyam, then fine, they were technically Koine, but because it was La'achal Yush, but nevertheless they have to return Mishum Kavod Aviyam. So that would all work according to Rav as well. Okay. So this Braisa does not contradict Rav Chista, because the Braisa as well as the Mishnah are talking about before Yush and are talking about after Yush. And Rami and Rav Chista is talking about before Yush. So the Gemara points out also, name a Tevet Yufta de Rami Bachoma. Now, we also said that Rami Bachoma had said that Rishus Yodesh Rishus Lekeach Dami, that when the Yodesh Yarshins the estate, it's considered like they were Lekeach, and therefore we have Shinu Rishus. Based on this Braise, it seems that not like that. Omamar, Gzela Kayam is Chayav Mashalim. We said if the Gzela still exists, then the Yodeshim have to pay. So name a Tevet Yofta to the Rami Bachoma. Is this now a contradiction on Rami Bachoma? Because he said they shouldn't have to anyway, because you have Yodesh and Shinu Rishus. The answer is Omalach Rami Bachoma, Kitanya Hi Lifne Yodesh. Rami Bachoma will say, actually, no, the Braisa is talking about before Yush. So therefore, you only have Shinu Rishus without Yush. So therefore, that's not going to contradict Rami Bachoma's din, because Rami Bachoma is talking about where there was Yush, and now, in addition, also the Yarshinim. And therefore, you have Shinu Rishus. And, on the other hand, the Braisa is going to be talking about before Yush. So therefore, they weren't yet Koineh, because they Yarshin it before Yush. And therefore, the Braisa would be saying that if it still exists, they have to return it. And only if it doesn't exist anymore, then you have, there was a shinui to it, and we learned earlier that a shinui is also koina, and therefore they don't have to pay it back. And since they themselves are not the ones who stole it, their father did, then therefore they're potter from paying, unless it's a matter of kvodavi. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll continue with dinim, with details of these dinim about different cases of Yush and Shinu Rishus and so forth.